not excited about being a part of a Mother's Day celebration? Isn't that exciting? It is awesome, and God is so to be praised. And you know, I am so grateful for my mother. My mother is awesome. She was an amazing mom, and I just wish that you guys could have been there with some of the things that my mother would do. Just incredible. You can use your imagination. She was creative, and she was a lot of fun, and she loved to travel and take us places, and she really enjoyed life. And I believe she passed that on to us as her kids, and that's what mothers do. And I am so thankful. You know who another great mother is in my life? My wife, Beverly. Hallelujah. You know what? Some people don't even know who she is. Come up here, Bella. You know, I don't usually have her come up or do stuff with me up here, but, you know, I just, you know what? It's Mother's Day. Hallelujah. Come on. You going the long way? Oh, man. Well, this is my beautiful wife, Beverly, and I am so grateful to God for her. Hallelujah. Now, this is a woman of God right here, and she will kick you in your pants.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. To make sure that things go the way the Lord would have it to go. And I just wanted to say thank you in front of the whole world for how much I appreciate you and how much of a wonderful mother you have been to our children. Where are our kids? Stand up. Give thanks to God for your mama. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we are grateful. In fact, you know what? You know, she helps me do everything. I mean, she really does. You know, and we don't really talk a lot about, you know, who's doing what so much. But, you know, a lot of the creative things, you know, she's given me all these ideas, all these really cool imagery and pictures. And she's like my research assistant. She'll look up things for me to get some more details on things so that I can use them and help present them for you guys. And she's a very valuable part of my life and our ministry here and what we do. And she is like mama of the mamas. And she is our first lady, as people say, right? And we are so grateful and thankful for what you've done. And you know, I thought it would be nice if I would take this. And I wanted to present that to you. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I hope it's not all sweaty, but it's, you know, praise God. It's at least dry. All right. Well, God bless you, and thank you so much, honey. You're so wonderful. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, God is so good, and I pray that you're doing something special for your mom today, with your mom. You're going to take her out to eat so she doesn't have to cook, right, or do any work or anything like that. She can take it easy, and you can if you can't be with your natural mom, go with a spiritual mom, hallelujah, and they are equally as important in our lives, and we need people in our lives who can encourage us, who can motivate us, who believe in what God is doing in our lives and will support us in fulfilling the call of God. And every man needs a good wife or woman in his life to build him up and to encourage him and to speak life into him. Hallelujah. And that's what God originally intended in the scriptures, isn't it? Wasn't she a helpmate for Adam? That's what she was. She was created in the garden to be a helper and so that Adam wouldn't be alone. And we need each other. That's the way the world was designed to work, that we would have each other. And we have brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles in the Lord. We have mothers in the Lord, fathers in the Lord. and we're all working together. So if the world has done you some challenging, harmful things to kind of rob you of some form of relationship that is necessary, the house of God has the makeup piece that you need. Hallelujah. So if your mama was challenging to deal with, God has a spiritual mama who can make up for that. Hallelujah. And God will have a spiritual father for those of you who need fatherly love and encouragement and the things that a father would do. Sometimes you need a kick in the pants from a spiritual father. And so spiritual fathers can give it to you a little differently than your natural father would. And just maybe, more than likely, you'll receive it better from somebody other than your real parents. I don't know why it works that way, but somehow it does. And so we're just grateful for all that God has done and the design that God has put forth. And we are talking this month about metamorphosis and the transformation and the change that is taking place in each of our lives. God is doing something new. He's doing something unique and different in our lives. And we are so, so grateful to God, aren't we? Hallelujah. Are you grateful to God for what he's doing? Are you not glad that you're not the same as you were last year at this time, that God has done something within you? There's been a metamorphosis that's taking place, and every child of God ought to be growing. It is impossible to have a relationship with God and stay the same. It is impossible to have a relationship with God and stay the same. You must change, because God is causing us to become more and more like him. That's what he does, and that is what will happen when you walk with God, when God is a viable part of your life. You will see him breathe life into you, and you will be a new man. Hallelujah. And so we're going to begin here in 2 Corinthians 4:16 with Paul saying, therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Saints of God, this is so critically important for us to understand. Yes, we're all getting older. Yes, we all are dealing with the challenges of this life, sickness and disease and all of the evil that is permeating the world. We're all experiencing it. We're all dealing with it. And it's not something you can avoid. No one goes through life unscathed from the effects of sin. And this is something God has designed in order to make us new in him. And so our inner man, the essence of who you are a soul that lives in a physical body. And as we are abiding in this body, you and I are being transformed. Our spirit, our soul, our inner man is being transformed just like a dragonfly, just like a butterfly, just like a tadpole. We are being transformed into the image of God. And God is spirit. And we are created in his image, which means we too are spirit. We are spirit beings housed in a physical body. And that is why it's so important to have your soul redeemed or reclaimed by the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want the Lord to have the rights to my soul. I don't want Satan to have the rights to my soul. That is what happened when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. Satan became the rightful owner to the souls of men. And our souls were lost. We were fallen into darkness. And the authority that God had given to Adam now belongs to Satan. He is the prince and the power of the air, and he is the authority. But like a dragonfly, you and I will be changed because God has ordained it to be so. Do you know why dragonflies search for water? Do you know why? We know that water, it represents a couple of things in the Word of God. Water in and of itself represents the Spirit of God, or the Word of God and the Spirit of God working together. And it also represents in the sea, in the sense of the sea or the oceans, and the storms of life, it represents troubled life, life that has troubles or difficulties, life that is unpredictable. That's what the waves kind of represent and connotate. But dragonflies need water. Just like you and I, we need living water. Like the woman at the well, we need this living water so that we might live. And that is the Word of God coming alive. The Word of God being activated in your life. And so when you think of a dragonfly searching for water, why is it searching for water? Dragonflies are searching for water mostly because that's where they lay their eggs. They lay their eggs in their water, in the water. And these dragonflies are very, very interesting creatures because they go through a process of metamorphosis, of change, over and over again. And God has designed these creatures in such a way that their inner being is being renewed and they are released outwardly. And they go into the water, and as they grow, they swim around. How do you like that little bugger there? Oh, man, he's kind of creepy looking, isn't he? Well, these guys are fierce. The water is a dangerous place where the tadpoles are swimming and all these creepy things are in the water. You know, you ever been to a pond? You ever been to a lake? You know, I'll never forget my son at Boy Scout camp. He didn't want to get in the water because he thought something was in there. And he was right. There was something, and there was stuff in there. There was stuff in the water. I'm like, come on, man. You got to pass the swim test so you can get your swim merit badge. And he was like, I don't want to get in the water. There's stuff in there. You know, and I'm like, come on, man, you're a Samson. This is what we do. This is what we do. We're water people. Come on, what are you talking about? I'm like, don't shame me. Get your buns in that water. Man, but he finally did it. But it took some serious probing. And he finally got in, and he got his badge. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so that was a few years ago. But the water is an important place, and there's so many of these little creatures, these dragonflies. These are dragonfly larvae. They swim in the water, and I wish I had time to show you some videos, but these are some fierce creatures. They will eat a tadpole. Yes, they will eat a tadpole. They will eat a fish. They will attack it. They hide in the bottom of the water. This will really get you creepy for the summer, right, going to those lakes. And they hide in the soft ground underneath, and they wait for an unsuspecting fish to swim by. And if it's not too big, it will grab it and start chewing away at it until it eats it. Ooh, enough where it stops moving, and then it enjoys a big meal. These things are creepy things, and they go through stages that of transformation, that as they grow, they stay in the water anywhere between 1 and 5 years. 1 and 5 years before you see them flying around. They were in the water first, and they had to survive that dangerous environment because not only were they eating other things, but other things were trying to eat them. Sounds like the world, doesn't it? You ever heard the phrase, it's a dog-eat-dog world? Well, my goodness, it's a creepy bug eat fish kind of eating creepy fish and bugs world in the water. And I tell you, there's always something out to get you. And that is how the world is. There's always something out to get you. If it's not other people, do you know dragonflies will eat each other? Goodness! Hallelujah. That definitely sounds like people, doesn't it? Yes. They will eat whatever. It's about surviving. And they're in the water all these years, growing bigger and bigger. And as they go through each phase, each stage, they shed their outer skin and they get bigger and bigger until they finally get to a stage where they climb out of the water and they go up into the brush of the whatever high grass and weeds, wherever they can go, and they wait there, kind of almost like a butterfly does. But they wait, and then they begin to grow, and as they grow, they break out of their skin. And I have here these are the stages, how they come out of themselves. Hallelujah. And this is what God wants us to experience. He wants us to come out of ourselves. Your inner man, the essence of who you are, has to be free from the flesh. God says there is a new life waiting for you. There is a day coming when you shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. You will no longer be what you are. In fact, the scripture says you don't even know what you will be, but you will be like him. Hallelujah. You will be like him. We will become like the Lord. And this is a beautiful picture of what is taking place, that as we grow in God, as our souls prosper, God will cause your flesh to shed. You will shed different layers of the flesh. So things that used to hold you down and keep you underwater, keeping you with this dog-eat-dog or creature-eat-creature mentality, God frees you from that. So you can soar into the spirit. We know the air represents the breath of God or the spirit realm. And you come out of the realm of the flesh and out of the realm of difficulties and hardship. And God raises you up so you can soar in the realm of the spirit of God. He breathes life into you so that you can fly. You go through a metamorphic change. And I would like to use as a theme today, women on the offense. Women on the offense. Are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask God that you would continue to transform us, that you would continue to metamorphose us into the image of Christ, that our inner man would be made new, would be renewed. Every day we would experience the mercies of God, the freshness of God, the transformation power of God, the renewing of the wisdom of God for afresh for each day, so that each day we have new insights and perspectives as to how to live our lives so that we can deal and manage with the challenges of each day as they arise. Help us, oh God. Let the emergence of the Spirit of God in our inner man come to life like never before. Use us, O God, that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right. Well, God is doing such an awesome thing in our lives, and we don't even realize it. Just like the tadpole doesn't know he's becoming a frog, I'm sure that this dragonfly just thinks he's just trying to survive. He was just found himself in this water realm, and he's got to eat. He's hungry, and he is trying to stay alive, and he doesn't want to be eaten either, because just as hungry as he is, something else is hungry for him. Hallelujah. And you and I experience similar challenges, because there's always something hungry that wants to eat you, that wants to rob you of your love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and gentleness. The spirit of darkness thrives on the fruit of the spirit. The spirit of darkness thrives on the fruit of the spirit. What does that mean? That means he wants to eat your fruit so that you don't have anything left. You have no more love. You have no more joy. You have no more patience. You have no more freedom. You have no more liberty. All you see is evil and challenges and difficulties and hardships and hurt feelings and problems and issues. And as we go through life, if that's all you see, you will be miserable. And that's why you have to fight for your fruit. You got to fight for your fruit. We talked about the garden a few weeks ago. It's a jungle in the garden. There's a battle. The squirrels want to eat your produce, and the chipmunks and all the other animals that are out there, hawks and all kinds of things, are just thriving. They're waiting for animals to eat your fruit so they can eat those animals. There's always something lurking, waiting to eat you up. And it's the same in your spirit realm. And you and I have to learn how to navigate life so that we can have the fruit of God flourishing in our life. Hallelujah. If the devil comes and robs you of a portion of your fruit, you've got so much more. You're being renewed. You're being refreshed in it. You know, every day you need a new freshness of fruit to eat. Hallelujah. And the fresher the fruit, the quicker it'll go stale. Isn't that right? And so that means you got to eat it fresh. Can't put it there and let it sit for a week and come back and say, I think I'll have an apple. Yeah, it might look okay on the outside, but when you get inside, it's already turning brown, isn't it? It's always starting to decay. You got to eat that thing while it's fresh. And the quicker you can eat it, the fresher it's going to be and the more nutrients it's going to have and the better for you it'll be. And so you and I need to be like these women who are on the offense in the Word of God. As a mother, as a woman of God, you can't live your life on playing defense. You don't want to live your life playing defense. You want to be on the offense. You want to have insight. You want to be able to anticipate. You want to be able to navigate and have perspective and understanding so that you can overcome the obstacles of the challenging waters of the world. And once you are walking with God, you will begin to experience these changes in your life. He will begin to make you new. Motherhood is what exemplifies spiritual life. It is the very essence of what God does. God breathes life. He brings forth life into our lives. In Genesis 3:20, it says, the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all the living. Mothers give birth to living babies. Isn't that right? And if the Spirit of God is in you, you too will be a person who gives life to other people. You will bring life to people. You will encourage people. You will help them to have perspective and to see things that they otherwise would not see because of your years of experience and your ability to navigate and overcome challenges because you've had good practice. Your faith has increased. Your perspective is high and lifted up, so you are able to have wisdom in the decisions that you make. This is what God is exemplifying through motherhood as God is working in our lives. And so the question is, how bad do you want God's blessing in your life? Today is a difficult day to raise children. It's a difficult day to survive and thrive in the mucky waters of the earth pond. And you and I are living during challenging times, but God has the power and the ability to see us through it. And as God is working within us, he is transforming us and he's molding us and shaping us into the image of himself. We are becoming like him. We don't even know what that is. We don't understand that. We're just trying to survive in the pond, and we're going to eat what we need to eat to stay alive. And that is why we need wisdom from God. And the question becomes, how badly do you want it? When we look at 1 Samuel 1:18, we see that Hannah, with her husband, was going through this challenging time. She wanted a child because in their day and age, they believed if you don't have a child, then you're cursed by God. Somehow you're not blessed. Nowadays, it's the opposite. They say, look, don't have any kids because this world is, woo, you know, you don't have any kids. Oh, God bless you, right? You know, hallelujah. You know, that's a whole different mindset today. But we know that God has called us to bring forth life, and that is what God does. Everything about him was to bring forth life. And Hannah was so hurt. She desired a child so bad. She was crying out to God for it. Not only that, she was fasting. It says, why do you weep and why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Why? She was fasting and praying because of the pain that she was feeling, because her peers and the people around her made her feel like she was missing out on something. And she needed something that was considered a blessing in her culture. But I tell you, sometimes what seems to be a curse turns out to be a blessing in the end, because it changed Hannah's perspective on life. Because of what she was enduring and what she was going through, it changed you. Difficulties and hardships in your life will change you. And they are designed to change you. And one of two things will happen. They will make you bitter and angry, or they will breathe life into you and invigorate you. One of those two things will happen. And Hannah, she decided to go before the Lord to make sure she had a positive outcome. And without God, you cannot have a positive outcome in life. You need to learn how to cry out to God. You need to understand that even though you have a loving husband or a loving family or people around you that love you, Hannah, a husband said, am I not better to you than 10 sons? And Hannah was like, well. So Hannah rose up after eating and drinking in Shiloh. It says, and she went this day to Eli the priest, who was sitting by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She goes to the house of the Lord. She goes before God, and she is greatly distressed, and she begins to pray to the Lord, weeping bitterly. Have you ever had such a hurt, such a pain that you just cried before the Lord? Have you ever been there? Oh, that's when it's running deep, you will cry before God. I'm going to tell you, if you're not crying before God, how badly do you want it? How bad do you really want it? Oh, I tell you, when you want something deeply, oh, you begin to cry. When a baby wants his pamper changed, what does he do? Hey, Mom, it's about time here we get this thing swapped out, right? No, that's not what they do. They start going, wah! And you're going, what is that? And then you start to learn, well, that's the change my pamper cry, right? I need a diaper change cry. And then there's the I want to eat cry. You know that cry, right? Then there's the somebody took my thing and I want it back cry, right? You know that cry? And then there's the cry where, you know what? I want what I want. There's that cry. And all the famous one, the I am so tired, but I refuse to go to sleep cry. Oh, yes. You know that cry? You see, we all know the different cries, and God knows the cry of your heart. When you need something, when you want something bad enough, you will cry out to God for it. And when you cry out to God, oh, God will do a work. God will show up. He will do something in your life. God will manifest himself. In verse 11, it says, she made a vow and said to the Lord, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord. I'll give him back to you, Lord, all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come to his head, on his head. He will be a priest unto God. I'm going to give him up to the Lord. Man, how much does God love that? God says, oh, you mean it's not for your own selfish reasons you want a son? It's not just for you? You're going to give him back to me? Well, hallelujah. Saints of God, if you give your children back to God, then God will raise them up. Hallelujah. God will raise them up. If you try to do it yourself and you try to figure it out, well, you know, I don't want to hurt my kids' feelings. Well, I have to be their friend. No, you don't have to be your friend. Your parent is not your friend. Your parent is your parent. Your mother is a mother. There's a difference between a mother and a friend. Can a mother be friendly? Yes, but your mother is never your friend. Your mother is always your mother. Why? Because your mother's job is to raise you in the fear and the nurture of the Lord in mucky, cloudy waters where there are creatures looking to eat you alive. And mama knows this. Mama understands this. And when mama starts recognizing the wisdom of God that he has given her and begins to operate from a position of prayer and crying out to God and interceding in behalf of their children, it changes everything. You see, a mother who does not pray for their children will allow their children to do anything, and they will go any kind of which way. And the mother won't be doing the right thing either, because that is why she doesn't know to come before the Lord and cry out to God. But when you know to cry out to God, you are able to know that you have given your children over to God. Oh, hallelujah. And you have left them at the altar of the Lord. You have left them at the house of God. And Hannah did exactly that with her child. It says in verse 12, it came about that she continued praying before the Lord, and Eli was watching her mouth. She was praying softly. She didn't want to make a loud noise. You know, sometimes you don't pray loud. Sometimes you just got to pray soft. You just got to say, God, I need you. Oh, God, I just need you, Lord. And you just, nobody can hear you, what you're saying sometimes, but you're praying. And it may look like you're drunk. Eli thought that she was drunk. He was like, what kind of woman is coming in here? She's talking to herself. She murmured. She's talking under her breath. What in the world? This is a house of prayer, not a house for drunk women. What is this? What's the matter with you? And Hannah is there. She is speaking in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice wasn't heard. And Eli thought she was drunk. Goodness, what kind of church was that? My goodness, people coming in drunk, looking like that? No. What kind of man of God is this? You don't know the difference between prayer and drunken talk? Goodness. But the things that you think of, you wonder. And we know Eli had his troubles, didn't he? And so Eli said to her, how long will you make yourself drunk, woman? Put away that wine from you. Now, he didn't even see any wine. He's just assuming that she has wine somewhere. And don't you like people who just assume things? Never assume. Oscar Madison taught us that years ago. Hallelujah. And you and I have to understand the importance of allowing God to work. She understood it. She was crying out to God so much so that her voice had given out. She was just praying. Oh, and her lips were moving, and she's crying out to God. And she replies to him, my Lord, no, I'm a woman oppressed in spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Notice she didn't say, praise God, I got faith. Oh, I'm trusting God. I'm here now. No, she didn't say any of that. What'd she say? I'm a woman oppressed in spirit. She recognized that there was a spirit on her of oppression, that she was being held down by the mindset or the ideology that without a child, you're cursed, that God is not with you, that you're not blessed. She was thinking she wasn't blessed because she didn't have a child, and she was concerned, and she's crying out to God, and she wants this child, and she knew only God could do it for her. It was the only place she could go because God had the power to give her a child. And she said, I'm not drunk, and I'm not drinking wine or strong drink. I have poured out my soul. I'm emptying myself. Have you ever done that? Have you ever emptied out your soul? I tell you, if you want God to answer your prayer, you need to learn how to empty yourself. You need to know how to release yourself. That inner man has to come out. You got to rise up. Oh, how badly do you want it, saints of God? How badly do you want God to make a change in your life, in your children's life? Oh, my Lord, God wants to do something in your house. He wants to do something in your family. He wants to do something with you and your children and your children's children. But you must pour out your soul before God. You must learn how to cry out to God, fast and pray. Oh, my Lord, the only thing people like to do fast is put the food from the plate into their mouths. Hallelujah. Oh, we have, oh. You know, you start talking about fasting and praying, nobody comments. You know, we have teams. You put it out there. You know, you get like 4 or 5 people that will respond. Everybody else is like, I didn't even see that. Did Pastor post something? What did he put in there? Oh, I didn't see it. I don't know what happened. I don't know. Oh, I didn't say, you know, I just didn't notice it. I don't know why. Meanwhile, phone is going bzz, bah, and, you know, buzzing all over the place. They're like, I wonder what that is. Look at it fast. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, look, here's a TikTok. Did y'all see this? Oh, no. But when you learn how to pour out your soul before the Lord, it changes everything. And she says, don't consider your maidservant a worthless woman. She is connecting being drunk and drinking and alcohol and that condition as with worthless people. That means you have nothing to offer. You have nothing else. And she says, I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation. Oh, saints of God, now she's in the house of the Lord. Now she's having a dialogue with the man of God. And now her confidence is being raised up. Something is happening to her inner man. And I tell you, when you come to the altar, just talking about the fact that you're bringing something to God, you're crying out to God, you're sharing it with someone else. Oh, when you confess your faults, when you confess your sins, she says, I am an oppressed woman. I am held down. She didn't try to sugarcoat it or sweeten it. She didn't try to present herself as being full of faith. She said, this is where I really am. This is what's happening with me. God, I want to be honest with you. I want you to know that this is how I feel, and I'm bringing it to you. I'm bringing my brokenness. I'm bringing my hurt. I'm bringing my harm and my shortcomings and all my challenges and my difficulties, my concerns and my provocation, and it's great, and I'm bringing it before the Lord because God is able. I trust him. So Eli answers and he says, go in peace. May the God of Israel, what? Grant your petition that you have asked of him. Well, hallelujah. Doesn't that stir your heart? Oh, saints of God, that changes everything. Why? Because God is speaking through the man of God and saying that may God answer your petition. God answers petitions. He's a petition answering God. You know what a petition is? You know, a petition, that's those little things they pass around, try to get everybody to sign, put their name on it so they can take it to somebody and say, we got 10,000 people that agree that this ought to happen. Well, when you come before the Lord, you and God are a majority. That's your petition. You say, Lord, I am agreeing with you and with what your word says that I should go forth and bring forth a child, a son. I want a son, Lord. You said we should multiply in the earth. Lord, I want a household for myself. Bless my lineage. Bless my lineage, Lord. Do you ever pray for your lineage? Do you ever pray that God would intervene in your lineage? Oh, saints of God, I encourage you to do so. It says that she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and what? Oh, she ate. Hallelujah. Oh, that's what the women want to do this afternoon. They want to leave the house of God, go their way, and they want to eat something. Men, are you listening? Pay attention. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it says that her face was no longer sad. What? Hallelujah. It says that her countenance was lifted up. Hallelujah. You want to see somebody's countenance change? You agree with them in prayer. And then hear what the Spirit of the Lord says when he says, may your petition be granted. Oh, when you hear the voice of the Spirit of God say, it's going to be okay. I'm going to take care of this. It changes everything. It changes everything. All of a sudden, the joy of the Lord returns. You are refreshed. You are replenished. You are renewed in the Spirit. All of a sudden, your joy fruit is back. Hallelujah. You've been refreshed in the Lord. And so people who cry out when their need is great will hear from God, will experience God. And I tell you, God will bring it to pass. So people who cry out when your need is great, then God will respond. Don't hold back. Don't hold it back. Bring it earnestly before God. Don't be one of those people who just like, well, Lord, we thank you for this. No. You don't want it that bad. You don't want it that bad. Oh, I tell you, when it's time to pray and you haven't eaten in a month and you live in a jungle in a hut, and somebody brings in a feast of food, and they say, let's give thanks for the food. You know what kind of prayer they're going to pray? Thank you, Lord. We are so grateful for this brother who brought this food, for this sister who brought this. And wherever it came from, God, we know you sent it, and we are grateful. Hallelujah. They're not, Lord, we thank you for this food. In Jesus' name, amen. No. It's a whole different experience, isn't it? How badly do you want it, saints of God? How badly do you want it? Do you want the fruit of God? Do you want the blessing of God? How badly do you want healing? How badly do you want deliverance? How badly do you want God to do a work in your family, in your children, in your children's lives? How badly do you want to see transformation and change in your life? Each experience brings a new level of liberty in the Spirit of God. God does something new, does something different. In 2 Kings 4:8, we see that Elisha, he passes through the land of Shunem, where this woman was there, and it says that she was prominent, and she persuaded him to eat food. Why? Because Elisha had a lifestyle of fasting and prayer and walking with God. And so he didn't just eat anywhere. He didn't just eat anything. But this woman was able to persuade him to eat food. I tell you, women have power. Oh, yes, women have power. And they underestimate how much power they have, especially in a man's life. There is no more of a powerful force in the world than the presence of a woman of God in a man's life. I tell you, that is the most powerful person in the world, a woman of God, a woman who has discernment and perception and has the ability to hear the voice of God, who has relationship with God, so much so that when she cries out to the Lord, God hears her prayer and responds. There is no one more powerful than that. And I can tell you that God created Eve in the garden to be Adam's helpmate. And they were spiritual beings housed in a body. And the role of Eve was to help him stay on track. Well, she did mess that up. But she did blame the devil. She said, "The devil made me do it." That's what she said. Adam said, "That woman you gave me made me do it." Yeah, all the women said, "Oh." But the woman, she said, "I got to out too. Look, the devil made me do it." And God says, "I know, and I'm going to deal with all of this." And so he came and he gave us his spirit. He gave us himself. And so this woman had spiritual perception such that she was able to persuade the man of God so that he would eat at her house whenever he came through town. And so whenever he would come in, she would provide food for him. And that meant that the house of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord, would be upon her and her house. Because it was understood that when you bless the man of God, the same blessing that is imparted to him would come back to you, because God would make greater provision in order for you to continue to bless the man of God. What? That's why if you bless a person in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. You ever read that? Hallelujah. And that is what you do. And to the degree to which you do something for someone else in the name of the Lord, God will say, "Oh, I will back that. And I back it with my resources, not yours." God will back you with his resources, not yours. And that's why you can't say, "Well, I can't do this and I can't do that." Because that's clearly someone who has not been crying out before God and seeing God intervene. Because once you understand that principle, you know that it doesn't matter what you have. You know that whatever you have, you can freely give it, because God is your source of provision, and he's going to pour into you, because as you give out, he is going to replenish, because he will restore the fruit that the locust has eaten. He will restore to you all that the enemy attempts to rob you of. And you will learn how to cry out to God. You need to know how to have a relationship with God. And she says to her husband, she says, "I perceive that this is a holy man of God passing by us continually." You know why? Because when somebody is operating in the presence of God, there's an anointing. And when you spend time with them, you begin to realize, man, the atmosphere shifts whenever this person comes around. Everyone carries a spirit. Everyone carries a spirit. Some people have an angry spirit or a hostile spirit. Other people have a loving and peaceful spirit, a joyful spirit. And there are those who are filled with the Spirit of God, and there's an anointing that comes with them. There's an anointing in the house of God. There's an anointing in this place. there is an anointing. There's a distinct atmospheric presence that exists when you're operating in the presence of God, under the anointing of God. And that's why prayer and crying out to God is so important, because it changes your countenance. It changes your inner man. It brings life to you. And that is what enables you to thrive. And so she has spiritual perception. And she not only knows how to pray, but she also has wisdom. And what does she say? She says to her husband, let us make a little walled upper chamber. Let's make an upper room for the man of God, so that whenever he passes by, we'll give him a bed and a chair and a table with a lampstand, and it'll be that whenever he comes, he can turn in there. Why? Because she wanted the presence of God to be in her house as often as it possibly could. You see, back in those days, the Spirit of God didn't dwell with people. It was upon the man of God as he went. The prophet of the Lord or the king would operate under an anointing, and whenever they did what they did, wherever they went, that anointing went with them. So when they came to your house, the presence of God would show up with them. I don't know about you, but my Lord, I want a spirit that is of God to dwell with me, to dwell in my house. And that is why you want friends who are praying friends, people who abide in the presence of God, people who know how to commune with God so that they can interact with your house. Sometimes you get people who come to your house. Remember, everyone who comes to your house comes with a spirit. And the question is, what kind of spirit is it? And the main thing, the most important thing, is the Spirit of God that is with you has to be more powerful than the spirit that they bring in. And the only way that's going to happen is if you're cultivating the Spirit of God in your house so that it will abide. It will stay there. That's what this woman wanted. She wanted the Spirit of God to stay in her house. It's what Hannah wanted. She went to the house of the Lord where the Spirit of God remained so that she could cry out to God. You know, it's a lot easier to cry out to God when you're in an atmosphere of prayer, when you're in an atmosphere where the Spirit of God is moving or when he dwells. And that's what they wanted in their house. And they did it. They built this little house. So when you perceive God's presence, you want him with you always. And a good mother wants the presence of God dwelling in her house, dwelling around her children, so that her children become so accustomed to God's presence, when they go out into the hostile environment of the world, they can sense the difference between having the peace of God and the insanity and chaos of the world. And whatever you condition your child to be accustomed to, whatever atmosphere you raise them in, they're going to become accustomed to that atmosphere when they leave your house. And wherever they go, they're going to try to recreate that atmosphere. They are, without even realizing it, they're going to try to recreate that same atmosphere. And that is why you and I have to abide in the presence of God, under the Spirit of God, so that we don't bring in a wrong spirit. And so Matthew says in verse 17 of chapter 27, when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ? And so here is Pilate, and he's interviewed Jesus, and he's asking about who he is, and the people are saying, crucify him, right? Do you remember this? And so Pilate says to him, he says, for he knew that because of envy they had handed him over. Pilate had wisdom from God. He had wisdom. He knew that the Jews were jealous. They were envious of Jesus, and their motives for wanting to get rid of him were not of God. He knew it. And he was doing what he could based on his perception, but the crowd, the atmosphere of the crowd was greater than the spirit that he was in possession of. And God understood this, and he knew it, and God suffered it to be so because we all needed it. But the dynamics of the reality of what was taking place here is still important to understand. And that is that the spirit of the crowd was evil and was dark, and it overwhelmed the goodness of God that was existing in the hearts of the other people who were crying out for Jesus to be released. In fact, Pilate himself said that he found no fault in him. And so while he was sitting there on the judgment seat, his wife, whose name was Claudia Procula, sends him a message. And she says, have nothing to do with that righteous man. Wait, who? She knew that Jesus was a righteous man. Why? How did she know? She said, last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him. God gave her a vision in a dream, and she was tormented by it. She couldn't shake it. This is the power of God. God has the ability to intervene in people's lives. We think that it's, oh, well, can we convince them with enticing words of man's wisdom? Oh, can we know what to say? You and I will never know what to say. You will never have the right words. The only thing you can do is cry out to God and say, Lord, speak through me. Let your words be spoken through me. I want to be a vessel. I empty myself at the throne of God, at the altar of God. God, use me, Lord. And God rises up through your inner man. And in that moment, he gives you what to say. And you're like, my goodness, I don't even know how I came up with that. Where did I even get that from? And man, it just comes alive. Why? Because the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. And this is what a mother will do. We'll cultivate this spirit, these tools, these ways, and they train up their children in the way they should go. Does your child see you pray? Does your child hear you crying out to God in your room at night while they're laying in their bed? Can they hear you going, oh God, I pray in the name of Jesus, intervene in my children's life. How badly do you want it, saints of God? How badly do you want change? How badly do you want God to intervene? How badly do you want God to do a new thing? Oh, every woman of God has divine sensitivities. I believe the woman of God has more divine sensitivities than men very often and in many cases. And you and I are able to discern the ways of God, the things of God. And that is why we have to learn how to listen. It took me a while to learn how to listen to my wife. My wife would say stuff, and I was like, yeah, I got this. I got this. Don't worry, honey. I'm going to take good care of you. I got this. And man, if I didn't get down into something, and all of a sudden something would happen, and she would say, well, what happened? I said, well, you know, this happened. She says, well, I told you. Did you do what I said? I told you. I'm like, well, I told you. And you know, after a few years of that, like 30, you finally started to go, you know, I think my wife is onto something here. And then things shift. And then it gets to the point where you go, well, wait, before I do that, hey, honey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? I just want to throw it out there for you to, you know, you bring that before the Lord. You pray and you talk to God. And I would get a good result. I was like, oh, that's like a secret weapon. Hallelujah. That was like a secret weapon. And then I started to work with other people, and I realized, wow, you know, people have gifts. They have abilities. And you begin to see people's gifts. You begin to see their talents and their abilities. And then you realize God sent them here to help. God sends people into your life to help. Everybody has a purpose. Everybody has a plan. Everybody has something to offer. And when you're able to see and you're able to discern, you're able to put people in their rightful place because they are able to fall in according to their gifts. And the gifts will make room for them. That's what the Word of God says. And God manifests himself. And that is what a woman of God will be able to do. They will be able to discern. They will operate in their giftings with divine sensitivity. In Luke 8, it says, after Jesus was going around from city to city, one village to another. He was proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God, and he was there with the 12. But it wasn't just the 12 that were with him. He also had some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. And Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. What? Here is Mary Magdalene. She had 7 demons. You know, people don't talk about that today. Well, I wonder how many demons she's got. I don't know. But that Mary, she had 7. Good Lord. And you say, yeah, you keep your kids away from that Mary, because I don't know whether them demons are coming back or not. But Mary Magdalene had a secret weapon. When she was delivered, she didn't go back to her old ways. She didn't go back to her old life. She followed Jesus. She said, I'm going to keep the presence of God with me everywhere I go. I'm going to walk under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to walk with God. I am going to allow him to minister to me, and I am going to stay free. Hallelujah. I'm going to stay free. Hallelujah. Saints of God, you can get free for a minute, but if you don't take care to stay at the feet of Jesus, the devil will come back. He will go searching to and fro around the whole earth, and he'll find no place better than where he was. And then he's going to come back with 7 more of his friends. Isn't that what the scripture says? And then your last state is worse than the first. And so, saints of God, stay with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Walk with God. Let the Spirit of the Lord go with you. He will give you insights. He will give you perception. He will allow your gifts and your talents to grow. He will cause you to metamorphose into another level, another state, until eventually you will rise up in the name of Jesus. A woman of God will forsake all to follow Jesus. That's what it means to be a disciple. Don't allow your job, don't allow other people, don't allow the needs or wants of your household to separate you from doing the will of God, from doing what is right in the sight of God. Persevere in God. Seek him. Pursue him with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. And so Mark 16:9 says that after Jesus had risen early on the first day of the week, do you remember this? It says, he appeared to who? Mary Magdalene. Wait, he showed up to her? What makes her so special? Oh, what made her special is she clung to Jesus. She was there when the woman touched the hem of his garment. She was there when he cast out demons, when he healed the blinded eyes. She was there when he encountered the scribes and the Pharisees. She was there. She was there when he was beaten and he was scorned. She was there when they were yelling, crucify him, crucify him. She was there when they brought him down the trail to the Golgotha Hill and they placed him on the cross and they raised him up. She was there when he said, it is finished. She was there when he rose from the grave. Oh, saints of God. He appeared to her first. And saints, when you are grateful to God, when you are crying out to God, when you are in a relationship with God, when you walk with God, he will show up for you. He will appear and he will do a new thing in your life. No matter how hard life is, no matter how fervently follow Jesus, no matter how challenging, no matter how difficult things may be, you hold on to Jesus. And so finally, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart. Do you see that? We do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Hallelujah. Day by day. Our inner man is renewed. Oh, yes, we are being renewed. We are being transformed. We are being raised up. And saints of God, you want the Spirit of the Lord to move in the midst of your life like never before. I pray that you are able to understand the power of God. Know that you are one who has been given life. Yes, the world is a dog-eat-dog place. It's challenging and difficult to survive, but God is transforming you. He's going to raise you up out of the worldly environment and this culture and this environment that is dog-eat-dog and bring you to a high place so that you can be changed into the image of God. And one day you will be like the dragonfly. You will be able to fly. The wings will begin to come out. You will transform. Oh, the dragonfly goes through between 12 and 17 transformations in the period of his life. 12 of them are underwater, but those last final transformations are when he rises up. And God is going to raise you and I up one day, and we will be changed. We will be a people from all different cultures and nations, and we will be people from around the world, and we will represent the beauty and the glory of God. And that is what a mother is. That is who she represents. She represents the creative power of God, the glory of God, the magnificence of God, the wisdom of God, the power of God, the strength of God, the ability to overcome obstacles and challenges and difficulties. And she prevails victoriously because of the work of Jesus. Be a woman on the offense, not on the defense. You have wisdom. You have the ability to discern. Navigate through life with divine insights and the ability to overcome. Let God raise you up. Let him breathe life into you. Emerge, saints of God. Emerge into the people that God has called you to be. And allow the Spirit of the Lord to do a new thing in you, transforming your house and your lineage forever for the sake of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, he will do it for you if you just cry out to God and allow the Lord to have his way. Amen? Amen.
There is a
Amen.
River.
Hallelujah. Come on.
Where goodness up. Flows. There yeah. is a fountain.
Hey, hey.
That
hey.
Drowns sorrow. Oh, there is an ocean. Deeper than fear. The tide is rising. Rising.
Oh.
There is a current. Deep inside. It's overflowing. From the heart of over us, the tide is rising, rising.
Something special, and God wants to do something in your life. And I don't know about you. Well, I know about a lot of you, and what I know is that you want to see change happen in your life. And I believe that God wants to do something special in your lineage. I believe God doesn't want the past life that you have either lived or you're aware of that your generations before you lived. You don't want that passed on to your children. You want God to intervene. Hallelujah. Can I safely say that? We want God to intervene. And I believe that if you don't fight for that, you won't get that. Because it's a dog eat dog. It's a creature eat creature. We got to say creature now because people don't know what they are. So now it's a creature eat creature environment that we live in. And you and I have to understand that the attacks can come from anywhere. It could be people. It could be situations and circumstances. There are demonic entities that are working against you. And the moment you make a decision for Christ, the devil makes you his enemy. And you are the enemy of Satan. And if you don't think about life from that perspective, then you're not going to take the necessary precautions when you deal with the issues of life. Because you're going to have your guard down. And you don't want to live life with your guard down. You need to be a woman who cries out to God from the depths of your heart. How badly do you want it? How badly do you want transformation and change in your life? You want your children to experience the power of God. And saints of God, we're here to help you, to make sure they do. And that's why we do the things that we do. So many times, people ask us, why do you guys do all these ministries, all this stuff? I said, because we're fighting a war against Satan. And when people come and become a part of our church, we're kicking the devil out of their lives. We're taking the authority that Satan has over them, and we're breaking it. And we are calling upon God, and God is restoring people in their walk with God, in their relationship with God. And it's not a game, and it's not just church, it's not just religion. This is warfare. And we are fighting the good fight of faith because the word of God is true, and it's real. And all these things that we see taking place in the world are signs of the times. They are signs of the times. And the word of God says it will be like Sodom and Gomorrah when Christ returns. Isn't that right? And you see it happening more and more and more every day. And that means you need to get ready because you're in a battle and you don't even realize it. You're going to turn into something that you may not want to be if you don't learn how to cry out to God, if you don't learn how to stand in the gap. When you see things, because God will allow you to see. You guys have powerful insight. You have the ability to see things that a lot of men can't see. I'm just going to tell you straight out. A lot of times men don't see things that women see. And that's because God designed it that way, to make sure that women had a rightful place in a relationship and in a community and in a society. You have powers that God has given that are unique to you. I tell people all the time, I don't know, when I was single, man, I was smart. I had wisdom. My memory was really awesome. That's why my wife was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna marry him. But then after I got married, something happened. I got stupid. I don't know. All of a sudden, she got really smart. And I got stupid somehow. And I would say, my goodness, I don't know why I did that. What was I thinking? And then my wife would be like, uh-huh, you see, I told you that. And now years later, I remember what happened when I said, I do. Half of my good sense went over to her. She took it. Man, she used to be quiet, meek, and humble, and kind of, you know, and she would look at me and go, yes, honey, oh, it's funny. And I would go, oh, she's so wonderful. But now, she's like, honey, you better pray about this. You better do this. You better do that. And I'm like, okay, honey, okay. And I'm like, oh, man, what's she talking about? I don't even know what she's talking about. And then all of a sudden, boom, oh, that's what you're talking about. Oh, honey, you know what? You were right, honey. Oh, yes, we're going to pray. Come on, honey. Oh, yes. Oh, you're going to pray. Oh, yeah, but, I get punched in the face. But that's because God has designed it to work that way. You guys are awesome. You are the neck that turns the head. You ever hear that phrase? You're the neck that turns the head. Hallelujah. And that's why men will look at you. You go by, they're like, right? Right? It don't matter. You go by, yeah, they're going to look. Why? Because you have power. You have power. You have power. And God has given you that power so that you can use it as a weapon for good. You can use your weapons for good and or evil. You know that, right? Oh, yeah, you can go either way with it. But God says, use it for good. God gives you insight. You can discern. You can see things. You're able to do things. And I want you to say enough. I want you to say enough. If you really have you had enough? First of all, have you had enough? If you've had enough, raise your hand. It's hard for me to see because the lights are on you. But now you're in a position where you need to start crying out to God. And I would recommend, I learned I can't tell people what to do. Right, honey? I can't tell people, right? So you have to write it down. Write it down. And when you write things down, now you can remember and you target, you go after that thing in prayer. You bring it before. You got issues with your job, your coworkers. You have situations with your kids. You got situations with your finances or your whatever it is. You got to write those things down and you cry out to God. You cry out to God so much so that your husband is going, what is the matter with you? And you fast. You fast and pray. Fast and pray. Fast and pray. Don't go for this modern stuff. Well, I'll turn off my phone for 2 days. And that's not biblical fasting. Biblical fasting is where you stop eating and you come before the Lord. You drink a little water and you pray. And you cry out to God. And when you're in the Spirit, He will sustain your body. The power of God will sustain your body. Don't let the doctor tell you you can't fast. You can fast. God has given you power. The devil doesn't want you to fast. So he's going to use that kind of stuff to bind you. So you learn to fast. Yes, you use wisdom, but you fast. You turn up one plate. You say, you know what? I'm not going to eat lunch. I'm going to my car, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to cry out for my kids. If you're concerned about your children every day, you need to pray and intercede for them every single day. If you're not, then you can let it go. If you're interested in what's going on in different situations and circumstances in your life, you've got to bring that before the altar of God. You can even come here like Hannah. Hannah said, I'm going to the house of the Lord. It wasn't the Sabbath. She was there during the week. She was crying out to God. Any day during the week, you can come here and you can cry out at this altar. And you can cry out to God. And nobody has to know any of your business. Nobody has to know. You may look like you're drunk. You may look like there's something wrong with you. I'm praying, I'm crying out to God. You might lay out the floor. Some days I just fall on the floor. I lay down on the floor right there. And I just cry out to God. God, do something new in me. God, transform me. Because I see my need for God to do something in my life. And I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I know by experience that it is the power of God unto salvation. It's not just a theory or religious theology that I studied in school. I know by experience it is the power of God. And you need to have experiences with God. If you develop your own experiences with God, then no one can rob you of your identity. No one can rob you of your value and your worth. No one can rob you of your sense of direction and your ability to see, hear, and perceive. You will operate in a revived spiritual state, and you will not be able to be overtaken by the devil. No weapon that is formed against you will be able to prosper against you. Why? Because you're in the Spirit of God. And saints of God, I want you to know that this is an important tool for us to engage in. All right, I've talked too much, but we're gonna pray. You ready for prayer? And I've asked our ladies, our leadership team to come down, and we're gonna pray, and we're gonna anoint you with oil, and we are gonna rise up with the Spirit of God. I don't know where Alex is or Kenny, where I can't see them, but we're gonna anoint you guys with oil, and we're gonna pray. And I want you to write things down, because when God does it, I want you to have a record of it. You know what I mean? This is Mother's Day. I want you to write it down so that you can have a testimony. And we're going to begin to pray, and we're going to pray over you guys, and we're going to ask God to do a new thing. I know it's late, and I apologize for it being late, but I really believe the Spirit of God wants people to have an encounter with Him, not just come to a service and go home. You need to experience the power of God, and that's what this is all about. And saints of God, if you have children, I want you to call their names out. Don't be ashamed. Don't you worry about it. You cry out to God. And we're going to pray, and we're going to ask God to do a new thing in your life. And you can pick any one of these women of God, because they are anointed to pray and to do what they do. And I want you to join in and pray. And while you're waiting for prayer, agree in prayer with the person who is receiving prayer. All right? And I'm going to pray first, and I'm going to kick this off with you guys. We're going to pray, and we're going to ask God to do something powerful in your lives this Mother's Day. And then before you leave, we have a gift for you up here, and I want you to take it with you so that you'll have a reminder of how God is transforming your inner man into a new creation in Christ. All right? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, oh God, for your word. And we just ask, God, that you would come alive in the river, in the Spirit of God, the living waters, the moving waters. And that, Lord, you would breathe life into these women. Every household that is represented here, these are women who have children. They have families. They have husbands, and they have people in their lives who care for them. And we're asking, oh God, that you would intervene in their behalf. We rebuke the devourer and every hindering spirit in their life. And I pray, God, that you would do a new thing, that you would cause old things to pass away, and for behold, all things to be made new. God, do something new. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And we thank you, oh God. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Yes.